everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. Here for you, as always. We live for you, our listeners. If it weren't for you...
What?
Where would we be? Dead, probably.
We'd be doing something else.
Oh, okay. Mine was a little more dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little
too dramatic.
Unnecessarily dramatic.
Yeah, just so you know, you got like a piece of oregano or something
really?
In your teeth. Yeah. I mean, not that anybody
Thanks for
can
telling
see.
Everyone that.
That's fine. They can't see. You shouldn't be embarrassed.
Just like, you know,
that's
pointed.
But they can't see that either. Don't forget, you can email us at podcast@pause.com. And visit us on Facebook, where you can become a fan of our Facebook page. You got anything to add to the intro?
Yeah, let's do some shout-outs.
Okay,
I want to give a shout-out to Amy,
okay.
who finally
Hi,
got
Amy.
On board and is a huge fan and is turning us on to others, which we encourage all of you to do.
Or turning others on to us.
Oh, did I say that wrong?
Yeah. It's probably because you got stuff stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
You can't think straight.
Yeah.
See, I'm colorblind, but... You have food stuck in your teeth. So I think...
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. Would you like a glass of water or something?
Why couldn't you have told me this before we started?
I didn't notice it before. I was busy typing the outline.
Look away.
Again.
I'm hideous. Look away.
I'm hideous.
We also want to clarify. We gave a couple shout-outs last week, and it turns out...
that they were to the same guy. That's right.
We had mentioned Steve Espinoza and then talked about an email we got, and it...
apparently was from him.
Yes.
So thanks again, Steve, and thank
we're
you
not
for
taking
the...
back the double shout out.
No, that's fine. You totally deserve the double shout out.
Right.
And thank you also for your email that you sent to us the other day with some more interesting movie news, which I have forgotten to bring today. But maybe I'll get it before we get to that section.
Yeah,
it's on a different computer that's not in here, so I'll have to go retrieve that. What else? What else we got going on that we need to tell people about right away?
That's really all I have.
Yeah. Oh, I want to remind people, don't forget to listen to our votes for best and worst entertainment moments at the end of the week. I mean, at the end of the show. I just don't want anyone to forget.
Right.
Because we could be blamed for something if they forget. Somehow it'll be our fault.
You're so dramatic today.
Look out! Okay, so what have you been playing?
Video games? You know what? I have been playing a ton of... Pixel Junk Eden, so I won't even mention it. But there is a new iPod game.
Do you think it's
game,
time to move on?
Or iPhone game.
Yeah.
From Pixel Junk Eden? No. I mean, I'm like, it's
really?
Got me in its clutches.
Okay. Now who's being dramatic?
But there's a new iPhone game that I came across
okay.
that I really like. It's called Flight Control. And
yeah.
it's literally, you're like an air traffic controller.
Oh, okay.
And, shows a runway with a helipad and a smaller runway, and planes come on. First of all, the art style of this is done very like retro, like 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
And it's got really cool music and sound effects. And so there's like, you know, smaller like biplanes and jets, but all done, you know, very retro.
Yeah.
And the controls are amazing. They're just little, you know, planes come on your screen, you know, from every direction, and you just, you know, touch the plane and then draw the path you want it to go to get to the runway. So
okay.
you're constantly, you know, as the
Can
screen.
Can you just draw a straight line every time?
No, because then planes can run into each other. I mean, that's what you're avoiding is planes.
Well, is that really your problem? I mean, you're underground in a bunker. How does that affect you?
Because game is over then.
Oh, I gotcha.
But it's really hard. I mean, I haven't been able to, you know, land more than like 20 planes.
Really?
Actually, no, I think my high score is like 29.
Does it take a long time to get that far into it? Or is it like a slower paced game?
Well, no, here's the thing. Some of the planes travel at, you know,
different speeds
than
right.
others. So you're not really sure, you know, if you see paths crossing, if they're going to, you know, be able to clear each other.
Right.
And like the helicopters are very slow and the jets are very fast. And like, so you're constantly rerouting planes and that.
Oh, you can do that. You can reroute.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can just, you know, touch on it again and draw a different path. And it shows you like. The path. So,
see,
it's really cool. Check it out.
This is why the iPhone needs voice controls, because then you could just be like Allegheny 444, turn right 30 degrees, you know, and then be much easier.
Yeah, that would make it much easier.
You don't think? You could just tell the pilots what to do and then let them handle it.
No, I certainly wouldn't land 29 planes, that's for sure.
Okay. And how much was that? I
hate when you do that. I want to say it's 99 cents.
You know you hate when I ask you to back up your stories with facts? Sorry. What'd you say, $29?
No, 99 cents.
Oh, that's a big difference. I thought you said $29. I think I was
stuck
on 29.
It is 99 cents.
Okay, 99 cents. Suitable for kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, people have asked us to clarify that. And anything else you want to talk about it?
No.
Okay. And any other games that you've been playing other than Pixel Junk Eden and that?
No. But, you know, I did just get my latest Gamefly delivery, and so I will be playing, even though you've reviewed it on here before, the new Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's not so new now, but...
Well, no, that's fine. I'm interested to see, you know, what you think.
I'll play
of it.
Some today.
Cool. So I finished...
If you don't ramble on and take up the rest of the day.
Dear Lord.
I'm sorry, that was unnecessary.
It was rude. Are we keeping this show to 15 minutes or something today? It was long
last
week.
Come on, I gotta
go. It was like almost 2 hours long last week. So I finished the Fallout 3 expansion, The Pit. Add-on, I shouldn't say expansion, but it's an add-on. And I have to say I was really kind of disappointed with it.
Why?
Well, I don't know if you remember when I was talking about Operation Anchorage, one of the things that I liked about it was that the setting was a lot different because it took place in the simulator. So you were in, you know, Anchorage, Alaska, obviously, and, you know, it was blue skies, and you got to do stuff that was different from all the stuff that you did throughout Fallout 3.
Right.
Well, in The Pit, it's just more of the same. You go to this place that, you know, is an old, like, steel mill, and it's been taken over by slavers, and they have all these slaves working the mill to make them weapons and other stuff. And there's a new kind of enemy that's called a Trog, which is sort of like the feral ghouls, but they crawl around on all fours and they're pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, there was really nothing new in it. I mean, you walk around in buildings and in the sort of half-destroyed city. And,
well, I mean, if there's something new, you liked the gameplay before, so I mean, isn't it just more of the stuff that you liked?
Well, but the thing that I didn't like about the gameplay is that it wasn't diverse enough. And that the story never really went anywhere.
So it became monotonous.
So, yeah, it became kind of monotonous. Now, I guess there's more... Oh, and here's one of the other annoying things about The Pit. When you first go in, you're pretending to be a slave.
Uh-huh.
So they take away all your stuff. So everything you have with you gets taken away.
Right.
Then during the course of playing the...
Of your slavery.
During the course of your slavery, you start to amass stuff. And so by the time you get all your stuff, you know, you have the opportunity to get all your stuff back, you have a bunch more stuff now. So as is often the case in RPG-style games, you know, resource and inventory management is always a pain.
Right.
So usually I'm walking around in that game with my weight almost completely loaded up.
Right.
So like if my guy can carry 280 pounds, I've always got like 275
right.
worth of stuff. So now you have all this new stuff that you got in The Pit, and then you have to get all your other stuff back. So it's like you have to dump either something that you had before or something that you got now, and a
right.
lot of it, because, you know, you'll end up with another 200 pounds worth of stuff. Now, one of the cool things is once you finish the main story of The Pit, you get to sort of take over the steel mill.
Uh-huh.
And what's cool is you can use the ammunition presses to make ammunition. So, like, if one of your weapons is something that you really like to use, but you never really find enough ammo for it, you can take all the ammo that you have from any other kind of weapon and dump it into the resource bin and then press the kind of ammo that you want for the weapon that you like.
Yeah,
so
but
that's
if it's done at that point, what do you need it for?
For the rest of the game. You know what I mean? You can take
but
it out.
But aren't you already done with the game?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like I said, by the time I finished the main story, there was probably still at least a third of the map that I hadn't been to.
Right.
So, you know, if you wanted to keep playing, what's cool is you can get more ammunition of the type that you like just by sort of recycling old ammunition that you don't use that often.
Right.
So
obviously you're leading up to the next part, which lets you go back.
Right, which I started playing last night, which is the add-on called Broken Steel. And again, these are all, you get them, I'm playing on the PC, so you get them through Windows Live, which is kind of a, it's a little bit of a, it's not really a pain, but it's kind of annoying in that you go to buy one of the add-ons and it says you don't have enough points. So
right.
then you have to go to a separate thing to buy the points and then go back
right.
and like refresh it so that it has your new point total and stuff. I don't know why they don't just do it all in one transaction.
Right.
But whatever. So so in Broken Steel, you have to go, since you had to open a previously saved game before you finished Fallout 3 just to play either of the other add-ons,
uh-huh.
you know, you're already sort of back in time and haven't finished the game now.
Right.
So now you have to go and finish the game.
Okay. That's
and
what
then,
you were saying before. I didn't get that.
Right. So now you have to go and finish the game, and then...
So you have to finish the game again?
You have to finish the game again.
Well, was it hard?
No. The end of the game is like, it's over like that.
Oh, okay.
Which was, again, one of the things I didn't like. And so it plays through the whole end as if you've died again, but then all of a sudden it kind of diverts into this other pathway, and it says, you know, 2 weeks later And then it's like, oh, thank God we were able to revive you, and Sarah should be fine too. You know, this other person who was right there at the end of the game. And then you just keep playing from there, and then you go into the Broken Steel part, which I just barely started in, so I don't even really know where it's going. But you have to find these Enclave outposts and destroy them. That's what the main thing is. But, you know, I haven't seen yet if there's anything new in terms of how things look. Probably not, since I think it all takes place within the regular parts of the map.
Right.
But anyway, so I was a little disappointed with the pit, and it was really funny because I happened to read the review of it in PC Gamer over the weekend, and they gave it like a 93. I don't know why anyone would give it a 93. There was like nothing new in it, really.
Right.
But anyway, so that's what I've been playing. And then in miscellaneous gaming news, Playboy is actually coming out with a game.
Playboy had a game before, actually, on the original Xbox.
I got the impression, now I don't have all the details on this, it's called Playboy Manager, and supposedly you're a person casting quote-unquote talent. And and then, you know, you get these people to be models or whatever, and then they become naked at some point. So if you like naked Playboy chicks, this is a good thing for you.
Yeah,
and it's also supposed to be free. Supposedly it's going to be free when it launches, yeah. So I don't know what they get out of it. But it sounded to me almost like an online community. But
oh,
I'm
someone
sorry,
didn't turn their phone off.
My cell phone is ringing. I actually have to take
this
call.
Look at the quandary.
All right, hold on. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I had to take that call. I didn't have a choice. But anyway, so you were saying about the Playboy thing?
I have no idea where we were.
I was talking about the Playboy thing.
No,
and
I
that
said
it's
that
free
they,
when it launches.
And they had a game on the original Xbox called Playboy the Mansion. It was kind of The Sims.
Yeah, see, I got the impression that this was like that too.
And like girls get naked. And
as you would expect.
Yeah.
From something related to Playboy. Okay, so anyway, so there you go. If you're so inclined, you're excited about that now.
Right.
It's supposed to come out this summer.
It's obviously going to be on PC.
You know, I don't really know, but I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was a PC game. And then Peggle was released for the iPhone this week.
Uh-huh. Did you get it?
I did not. I did not yet. I've had a very busy week.
Yes.
So I have not done that yet. And then what was the other thing that you said?
Resident Evil Degeneration, which is a Resident Evil game. They say it's similar to Resident Evil 4 on the iPhone as well. And I was reading some of the reviews. It's
sounded
gotten positive reviews. Yeah.
Well, that's good. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention was, do you read PC Gamer or not really?
No, okay, I don't play PC games.
Okay. So they had a big article on a game that's coming out supposedly this fall called Borderlands. Have you seen anything about that? I don't know. It might be on other systems too. But one of the things that's really cool about it is, you know, it's a 3D, it's a shooter, but rather than the typical sort of rendered looking graphics, it's like an animated style.
And like cel shaded?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't know if it, I don't think it's going to look like, you know, what's the Grand Theft Auto. You know, I don't think it's, because isn't that animated style? Right?
No,
it's
just the like cover art and.
Oh, it the rest of the game isn't like that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, this, the rendered style is actually like animated looking. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to, but it's asking me for all this information.
Like what?
Oh, are you sure those aren't just sketches?
No, that's the game art.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what game was like this? Was Crackdown. Was like this.
I never even heard of that.
It's a 360 game.
But isn't that kind of cool looking?
Yeah.
Actually,
it's very cool.
So it's something I'm going to keep an eye on because it's from the article, it sounded kind of interesting. Not just from an artistic style, but it also sounded like there was going to be some cool stuff in it. So there's that. And that's all I have about video games. You have anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Alrighty, it is time to talk about television. And as you said before we started the show, in a few weeks we're gonna have to
nothing to talk about.
Really hard to find stuff to talk about.
Well, no, I take that back because last night started Real Housewives of New Jersey, which I'm sure will give me a lot to talk about.
Really? You watched that show?
I haven't watched it yet. Last night was the first one.
Have you ever watched one of the Real Housewives shows?
I've caught bits of a few of them, but this is the one I think that's really going to grab me.
I don't know. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do that.
I'll do it for both of us.
Although True Blood starts not too far off, right?
Right.
So there's that. June. And then I think I want to say that Burn Notice is probably going to start again pretty soon. That's a good show.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see that?
No.
That's a good show. Although I missed the entire last season. So it was
it's
good 2 years ago.
It's
going to
make it a little difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. All right, let's get right into talking about American Idol. We're sort of almost down to the wire here. Top three, Danny, yep. Chris, and Adam sang last night.
Yep.
And it was one of those ones where they sang two songs, the judges get to pick one, and the contestants get to pick one. And, you know, it was funny.
Are we even going to mention the fact that Allison is gone? Allison was my favorite.
Yeah, Allison's gone. She was the one who left last week.
So unnecessarily.
What does that mean in the context of the show?
It just means that I don't care anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's really funny, too, because I didn't ever think she was going to win. But I was...
Right.
But I felt like she deserved to be there as long as she could be there. And I really felt last night like I kind of almost didn't care. Like I wasn't excited about the show coming on.
Right.
Which is unusual because usually I'm pretty into it. But so in that respect I have to agree. And it was pretty sad that she left.
I have some insider Idol news, but I don't know if I can say it.
Why? Is it dirty?
I don't know if I'd get in trouble for it.
What
no,
do you mean?
Someone trusted me with this. You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm not going to. I'm going to be a little vague about some parts of it, but I'm still. I know someone who works for. But I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this. Who works for the traveling road show of Wicked?
Okay.
And apparently, Adam was in Wicked.
Right.
And wanted to get out of his contract to go out for Idol.
Okay.
And they said that the only stipulation was that that they were going to hold him to his contract unless he made the top 10. If they made the top 10, they get him out. But if he did make the top 10, that he was going to be like penalized for breaking his contract.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
obviously interesting. He's safe because, you know, he's in the top 3.
Right. Right. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Now, which production of Wicked was he in? Like on Broadway?
No, this is the traveling show. The one that was here in Chicago, okay, and now I believe they're in L.A.
Wow, that's pretty wild. So he was here in the show when it was in Chicago? Mm-hmm. Wow. Did you see it?
No. I have no desire to see that.
Yeah. I've heard it's very good.
Yeah.
Everyone who I know who's seen it said they loved it. But, you know, I kind of don't care about stuff like that.
The person who told me this, I don't think, listens, so I can get away with it. Otherwise, I'm really sorry. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be anybody, though. I'm sure there are, you know, hundreds of people involved with that show.
Sure.
So it could be somebody named Melvina.
Oh, I can't believe you just ruined it.
I just outed Melvina and her fabulous info.
Anyway, that's my little
that is pretty interesting,
insider
actually.
Juicy news.
So, man, when he made the top 10, he must have been like, woohoo.
Right.
Well, what I don't understand is what was he doing up until that point? Were they not showing?
Huh?
Up until the point where he was in the top 10, was he still working?
No. Then they were going to, like, come after him because he had broken his contract. You know, like when you break a contract, you can be
sued.
Right,
but what I'm saying was the show not running during that time?
Well, they just replaced him.
Oh, okay.
But they still had a contract with him.
Right. That I get. But what I'm saying is
the show because, I mean, I don't know what part he played or, you know, what parts there are in that because I'm not familiar with it. Probably not far off, but.
Yeah, maybe not.
But and then
that's pretty interesting. Yeah, that is cool. Okay, so then, unfortunately, Allison's gone. And so now it's a Boyquarium on American Idol. And it was Danny.
I don't ever want you to use that again.
Why? That's a funny phrase. Courtesy of Steve Dahl.
Oh, yeah?
That's his phrase.
Oh.
Yeah. And Danny, Chris, and Adam sang last night. And, you know, as is always the case, the round where the judges pick the song is always sort of a disaster. Because then exactly like what happened last night with Chris in particular is they pick the song for him and then they don't like what he did with it.
Right.
It's like, and Simon actually said that. He's like, well, you can't get mad at him for singing the song that you picked for him. But that happens every year. It's ridiculous. Now, I missed Danny's first performance. Was it any good?
No.
Okay. And then I thought Chris's was fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a good version. You know, it was the song. He sang the song.
Right.
And Adam...
Did one by you two.
I did not like it.
Hated it. I absolutely
did not like
hated
that
it.
Performance at all.
That's now. I don't think that that's a song that you can't sing. Remember, I was talking about Dream On before. I'm like, you know, that song should be touched. But this is a song that you can't change it that much. He changed the melody.
Yeah,
he changed the melody to the song. It wasn't even the same song.
Yeah, it was weird.
No,
I didn't like it.
He tried to go too far outside the box.
I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I think he did that on both of his songs. I didn't like either one of his performances.
Oh,
I loved
his second performance.
Really?
Yeah.
Which was the one with the really distracting and annoying backup singers? See, I think that was in the second one. I hated that.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Danny's second song, he sang...
You Are So Beautiful. You mean he destroyed You Are So Beautiful.
Did not like
that. You don't change it like that. And then he threw words in that aren't even in it.
Yeah, and then didn't Simon call it a vocal masterclass?
Oh, it was terrible. I hated it.
I didn't get it. Chris's second song, I didn't know the song, but I really liked that performance a lot.
Let me just tell you, as someone who knows the song, what he did with that was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a hip-hop. It's rapped, that song.
Oh, okay.
And he sang it.
Oh, my God. I thought that was a great performance.
Yeah.
Great performance.
Kanye West, Heartless was the song.
And then Adam sang, what was it?
Crying by Aerosmith. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought Chris was the best last night.
I mean, I liked Adam's second performance. Danny.
I have a feeling Chris might actually go home tonight because I just don't think he has the same kind of fan base that, that Danny has.
For whatever reason.
Just because Danny's wife is dead? That doesn't mean he's a better singer.
I think that has something to do with it, though.
I know, but it has nothing to do with the singing competition.
Right. No, I know.
But it's like all these people who like Eminem just because he had a rough childhood. Boo frickety who. Like,
did
I care.
Did he have a rough childhood?
Yeah.
I don't know.
His daddy left him and his mommy was mean. Oh, poor little baby in your mansion with your millions of dollars and fancy cars and entourage. I feel so sorry for you, Eminem.
Wow.
I'm just saying. I don't know why anyone cares.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Simon Cowell had a big smudge on his T-shirt.
Yeah.
Which was very distracting.
I think it was makeup, like you said.
I think it was Paula's body makeup.
Right.
And there was someone else wacky in the audience last night, wasn't there?
Didn't you say the Kardashians?
No, wackier. I thought there was somebody else.
I didn't really notice.
Yeah, what was going on at the beginning of the show? It was like everyone was goofier than usual.
I don't know.
But,
Now that Allison's out, I didn't give it as much of my attention.
Yeah,
I
didn't either. I was like doing other stuff.
And I want to say Allison was on Regis and Kelly this week, and she sang that Aerosmith song, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah.
She was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a really good singer.
She's, you know, I mean, I at least feel confident that she will have a very successful career and we'll see more of her. I mean, it's not the end of her, that's for sure.
No, I think you're right about that. You know what's funny, too, is
that was the same position that Chris Daughtry left, and now he's like the second or third highest selling contestant.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about the who's left in the competition now is that I think that, as we've talked about before, I think that just in terms of sheer performer, you know, it factor kind of stuff, Adam is heads and tails above almost anybody who's ever been on the show, I think.
Right.
But his style is such that I, again, if he put out an album, I could see myself maybe liking 2, 3, 4 songs out of an album. Whereas I think Chris is much more commercially now.
And well, I think Chris could appeal to a larger group than Adam could.
Yeah, and I think I'm part of that group because I mean, I like Adam, but I think I would probably like Chris's album of songs better than I would like Adam's. Because, you know, Adam's stuff always veers at least a little bit into the theatrical.
Right.
Which is not necessarily what I want to hear when I'm listening to that kind of music.
Right.
And I realize that a lot of rock and roll is theatrics, but... You know, when somebody like Kiss does it, it's not the same thing. They're a rock band.
Right.
And you know that a lot of it's an act.
Right.
You know, he talks about the fact that a lot of it's an act, but it's still, they're not breaking with it. You know, it's like wrestling. They're not breaking with their thing.
Right.
Whereas Adam is very theatrical. It's like you're aware of the fact that to a certain degree he's acting.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So... We'll see what happens tonight. I really hope that Danny goes, though, because I definitely think Chris deserves to be in the top 2.
I agree.
So, Okay, then I want to talk about Fringe. Fringe's season finale was on, I believe, last night. And what was interesting is after I watched the finale, I read something online that J.J. Abrams had said that basically this entire season was set up for the rest of the Fringe story, which that's kind of a long setup. But for those of you who watch the show, I'm curious to know what other people thought of it. I thought it was pretty cool. I wasn't totally surprised by some of what happened. In the last few episodes, we start to learn that what's going on is that there's another parallel existence to our own in the mythology of the show. And that one of the things that the bad guy, this David Robert Jones guy, has been working on is trying to, you know, get over to that other existence. And then William Bell, who was Walter's partner back in the day and who is now the head of the company with, you know, dubious underpinnings called Massive Dynamic, he's played by Leonard Nimoy, who has been getting a lot of work lately, obviously. And nobody knows where he is. The number two woman in charge, Nina Sharp, hasn't seen him in months. And then you sort of start to piece together the fact that he has actually escaped to this alternate reality because he's figured out a way to go back and forth between the two of them. So during this episode, one of the cool things was that Walter said that he had lost something very precious to him. And so he had opened a portal to this alternate reality so that he could get it back. And you kind of start to see where he's going with this. And by the end of the episode, they reveal that it was his
virginity.
Son. No, his son. His son either was kidnapped or died in the real world. And so he went to the alternate reality and took the version of his son from that world and brought him over here. So the Peter that's in the show that we know is not originally from our version of Earth. He's from the other one, which is kind of funny.
He is not of this Earth.
He is not of this Earth. And at the end of the episode, Olivia was supposed to meet Nina, and she blew her off, and then Olivia gets back in the elevator in this hotel, and as she's riding down in the elevator, there's these strange flashes and people appearing and disappearing, and the elevator doors open, and she's in some strange place, and a woman says, you know, Agent Dunham, come this way, and she goes into a room, and a strange shadowy figure comes out from a door, and it's Leonard Nimoy revealing himself as William Bell. And bless you.
Thank you.
And she walks over to the window and looks out the window. And then we see her from outside the building. And the camera pulls back. And she's on the top floor of one of the Twin Towers, which I thought was kind of a neat little touch, you know, yeah. Because in the alternate Earth, the Twin Towers had never been destroyed, which was kind of cool. So it was a pretty good season finale. So, and it got picked up again. So we will get to see what happens next season. Oh, and one of the other cool things is the device that, that let you go back and forth between the two dimensions. It basically opened like a window and then you could step back and forth between them. Well, Peter had this thing that he got from his father to shut the thing off. And he did it right as the bad guy was walking between worlds. And so the guy got like sliced in half, which was pretty gruesome, but also kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that was Fringe. All right. Celebrity Apprentice.
Celebrity Apprentice is over.
Yes. Who won?
Joan Rivers. I've spent so much time talking about this that, like, there's really, you know, I'm glad she won. And it's so funny because I could see that there would be two hardcore camps either for her or against her, yeah. Or for Annie and against Annie, just because they both have done and said some terrible things.
Yeah. So, well, they're both obviously the same personality type. Just different people.
Yes and no. I mean, Joan is a lot more outspoken than Annie. Annie's very, like, Annie's evil is, like, behind people's backs and is behind the scenes, whereas Joan will just, like, say what, you know, Annie puts up this front in the boardroom like she's an angel, but, you know, yeah. Joan will just, that's when Joan really lashes out.
Yeah.
But I mean, all in all, I'm glad Joan won, because I dislike Annie more than.
Yeah. And you love Joan.
I don't love Joan.
Would you love Joan if the opportunity presented itself?
Absolutely not.
Now, I know you read Reality Blurred. Did you see the article?
About the designer?
About the, was it the designer from the events planning thing who said that she is absolutely a monster and a horrible person?
Right, but I have to say.
He's talking about Joan.
Right. I have to say, from what they showed on the show,
yeah.
I didn't think she was that bad to him. I thought he was a little oversensitive.
Yeah. But I could see her being a monster. She looks kind of like a monster now.
Unless there was stuff that they didn't show.
Well, obviously there's stuff they didn't show. You're only seeing 2 hours out of, you know,
right.
Several days worth of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, think about how obnoxious Melissa was and how obnoxious Joan was in some of the stuff that they did show. You right. can imagine how much trouble they'd give the production if they thought they were going to show stuff.
Well, then I have to say it's edited to make it look like Joan didn't really do anything wrong and that the guy was, you know, being a little overly sensitive.
Well, you know, and I could see, if that's the case, I could see partly that being done from the standpoint of you don't want the person who just won your show
right.
to be somebody who everybody hates.
Right. Well, Piers Morgan wasn't exactly likable last year either.
Yeah, see, I didn't watch it last year. Yeah. Yeah, but celebrities, they live in a different world from us.
Yeah.
People. Human beings. But she does kind of look like a monster.
Yeah.
You got to admit, she's a little creepy looking these days. Anything else you want to say about it?
Just no.
That's it? Okay. Let's talk about Lost. So last week was the sort of follow-up to the Daniel Faraday story. And
you know, the problem when we talk about Lost is that I usually watch it the day we tape. So then when we're taping the next episode, it's not fresh in my mind. So
no, I hear you.
You may have to help me a little.
Okay. So remember Daniel's mother realized, the young Daniel's mother
right.
in the, what do they call them? Not the others yet. The
hostels
camp, you know, realizes that he is her son.
Right.
And so she is going to take
Jack
and Kate and... Is that it?
Well, Saeed joins up with them later.
Yeah, he kind of hooks up with them. To where the bomb is.
Right.
Because she believes that Daniel was telling the truth.
To blow up the hatch.
Right, to blow up the hatch. Or to blow up the thing so that the hatch never needs to be built.
Right.
And so in the process of this, Kate sort of does a 180, right?
Well, because she didn't want to follow.
Right. She didn't want to go along with the whole plan. But then
right.
she ends up.
Because she thought Jack was a little cockamamie.
Right. But she ends up going along with him, right?
No.
Oh, or did she take off?
See, it's not fresh in her mind either.
I can't remember.
She took off, but then she was captured by the Dharma Initiative, and they threw her on the sub with Sawyer and Juliet.
Oh, that's right. They threw her on the sub with Sawyer and Juliet. I forgot about that.
Right. Which I liked. You know, I liked what they did with Sawyer's character there. You know, they find out Sawyer was, like, not who they thought he was, and so they were going to banish him off the island, you know, him and Juliet put him off the island. And, you know, I like that they stay with Sawyer's character rather than him being heroic and want to stay and save his friends. He's just
right.
like, no.
He's let's just go.
I've had enough. Let's just go.
Yeah.
I like that they chose that with him rather than, you know, him being a hero and, you know, trying to save the rest of his friends.
The one thing that I did think was a little weird about that scene, though, is when they first put Sawyer and Juliet in the sub, they have this little moment where they're talking about, like, you know what, let's just go back to the States and just lead a normal life together.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they dump Kate in the sub and they play the really dramatic Lost music, but it's like nothing really happened. They just
put Kate
in the sub.
Then you see that, you know, because you always feel that his love for Kate is probably deeper than his love for Juliet.
Yeah, which is a strange thing from the standpoint that they originally made Kate a lot more likable, whereas Juliet has always been kind of cold and off-putting.
Right.
But I find Kate completely annoying at this point. Like, pretty
really?
Much everything she says and does, I'm annoyed by now.
Oh, I don't know.
She's not, I just don't find her to be likable anymore.
Really? Because I really thought, you know, her whole concern for Ben and just how she was with Ben's father, even though Ben, you know, was such a despicable person, I thought that was very, like, added a lot to her warmth. And
I didn't think so.
I think you just don't like her teeth or whatever your issue is with her face.
No. And thus begins this week's episode of What's Wrong With Her Face? No, I never said I had a problem with her teeth.
It was her eyes.
Because she always looks like she's
about to
cry.
Something on her face that...
Yeah. I didn't really get a sense of warmth from her about the whole Ben thing.
Really?
Just like I didn't with
just how she was so comforting with the father. She's the one who took, you know, the child Ben to the others.
I know, but it didn't seem... You know, when
I think if it weren't for her, he would have died.
Well, probably, but who cares? It's Ben. But the thing is that I don't know. The way it played out, I didn't get a sense of warmth from her. I felt like she was doing it because she felt like she should, rather than it's what
she
wanted to do.
I read it deeper than that. I thought it was because she had spent the last few years raising Aaron, that she had kind of that maternal instinct not let anything happen to this child.
I get that, but at the same time, I didn't buy it, I guess. I don't think they sold it. I don't think they sold that whole thing very well. Plus, I still don't understand what was the whole thing about don't ever ask me what I did with Aaron. Well, he gave him to his grandma. That's a good thing. Why wouldn't you want somebody to ask about that? I didn't get that at all. Okay, so, and tonight's the season finale, right?
Yes, two hours.
Yeah. Ooh, 2 hours, which I probably will not get to see since I have to wake up so early tomorrow. So
we're glad you threw that in.
Sorry. In other TV news, the original series, Star Trek, the first season, was there more than one season? I don't even know. I didn't watch the original series.
I didn't either.
Is out on Blu-ray now.
Uh-huh.
So that's cool.
It's supposed to look really good, too.
Yeah, I might get that just because I have never seen the whole thing.
Uh-huh. And so you can like crisply and clearly see just how terrible the special effects were.
Exactly. I don't think I even need those to be enhanced to see how bad they were. And then ABC has officially picked up Flash Forward, which is the the show that they've been teasing during Lost,
right?
Where people go ahead 5 months into the future and see a few seconds of their own future and then wonder what the hell's going on. And then Fox has also renewed Lie to Me, which is cool because that's actually a fun show. What's neat about that show is...
Oh, you watch that?
Yeah. It's Tim Roth plays a guy who's a deception expert. So he gets called into cases where they need to find out who's lying and what they're lying about and stuff like that. And it's kind of neat because they talk about all these things that are, little tells that people do for when they're lying and what they usually mean. And there are always some plot twists. I mean, it's not, it's not great television, but it's definitely entertaining.
Right.
And he's really good. He's a really good actor. I like him a lot. He's very quirky. And I think he brings a lot of character to his characters, especially on this show. So it's fun. I'm glad it got picked up. Do you have anything else in TV?
No.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. All right, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. And we, on Friday, went to see Star Trek together.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, Amy, went with us, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we all got to see it, which was fun.
Yeah.
And, all right, why don't you start? What did you think?
I liked it.
Now,
I liked
you've never
it
seen any Star Trek anything, have you?
No.
Nothing. You've never seen anything.
I've never really liked it. I mean, I tried a little. It just...
Yeah. Now, have you tried to watch all of them or just the original or just Next Generation?
The original and then Next Generation.
And then never saw any of it. Have you ever seen any of the movies?
Yes. I saw Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Spock dies?
The
one where Spock dies, I saw. That's Wrath of Khan,
I think so. I don't remember.
I want to say you and I saw one together.
Yeah,
maybe
that
Star Trek 4
one.
Or something. Like, where
was that the one with the whales? I hated that one.
Yeah, I don't remember.
The Voyage Home.
I never got into it.
Okay.
But I really liked the movie.
Yeah. I never really, as I said a minute ago, never really watched the original series. I started to watch Next Generation about two-thirds of the way through the second season. And I loved it right off the bat.
Right off the bat in the second season.
Right off the bat from when I started watching it.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed it. And so then I was a huge fan of that show and went back and watched, the first season and two-thirds that I'd missed and when I could. And then, watched it through to the end of the series. And I thought it was great. I tried to watch Deep Space Nine, but I couldn't really get into that. And then I tried to watch Voyager when that came on, and I really didn't like that. And I watched a few episodes here and there of Enterprise, and they were okay, but I just wasn't into it like I had been with Next Generation. But I have to say, I absolutely loved the new movie. I thought it was so good.
See, I'm not that. I liked it a lot. I don't think I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. For me, the thing that I really liked about Star Trek when I was watching Next Generation and some of the movies too is the whole optimistic promise of Star Trek, which is one of the things that was important to Gene Roddenberry from everything that if you read anything about why he came up with the series and how it was in bold for its time when the original series came out, in that there were all these different races working together and they were all equals and stuff like that. But it's the whole idea of the promise of humanity going above and beyond what we've always known. And in a sense, getting past our whole sort of, tribal aggressiveness to a future where we all worked together to bring humanity as a whole up to a new level and really join the ranks of the rest of the galaxy and the universe. And that is a very appealing premise to me. And I think from that standpoint, the movie really captured that spirit very well. But in a way that was so much more fun than any of the other Trek stuff that's happened before this. I mean, the humor that was in Next Generation was very geeky humor, uh-huh. and often kind of nerdy humor, you know, and I'm not going to go into the distinction between the two because I think most people get it. But it was, you know, it was like kind of, that's funny in the context of this show.
Right.
But not really funny outside of that. Whereas I thought a lot of the humor that was in this movie was just funny. And I thought there was a lot more energy to this film than there has been in a lot of the Trek stuff in the past.
Well, you know what? That's one of the reasons I really liked it was there was more action here than I ever remember being in any Star Trek that I've watched.
Yeah. And it was cool. I mean, it wasn't, yeah. you know, obviously, if you want to debate the science of what actually happened since it's sci-fi, you're going to find a lot of holes. But I mean, it was really fun. There was a lot of really fun stuff. And there was very little campiness to it, which is another thing that was great. I mean, it wasn't a serious film, but it took itself seriously,
right.
which I thought was really important. I thought the casting was great with a couple of exceptions that I'm sure you'll talk about in a few minutes. But
I don't know. Should we ruin that? I mean, I don't want to spoil it because I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. We don't have to.
Let's just say their choice to play Spock's mom.
you know, that really didn't bother me. And the other one, the Admiral, the Starfleet Admiral.
Oh, we can say that. That's not a big thing. But
I didn't even know who that was.
Yeah. Tyler Perry plays a role.
Yeah. I didn't
Spock's
even know
Spock's mom will keep a surprise okay. just because you're like, what?
But I mean, I thought that, you know, other than that, I thought the casting was great. I thought the acting was good. I thought the uh-huh. writing was good. I thought they did such a great job too of, you know, and the thing is you don't even really have to have watched Star Trek to know a lot of the Star Trek,
references,
yeah. references, you know I what agree. I mean? Because there's so much a part of our pop culture
right.
that, the fact that they acknowledged a lot of that stuff in this movie without really pandering to the audience,
right.
I just thought was brilliantly done.
Right.
And, you know, there were little phrases and things like that, little elements of people's body language, behavior aspects and little mannerisms that I thought the different actors captured really nicely from the original characters without trying to do impersonations of those people.
Right.
And so there was a lot of stuff like that. There were, you know, definitely a lot
I did say, though, Chris Pine doing Kirk, I thought he could have sometimes incorporated a little Shatner speak in it.
I'm just so glad that he didn't. I really did not want to hear him
do
that.
I mean, not so much for, like, camp purposes, but just kind of a wink to the audience.
Yeah. You know, I like I said, I'm glad that he didn't do that.
Because I definitely saw a parallel between Zachary Quinto and Leonard Nimoy's, you know, portrayal of that character. But there's zero between Chris Pine and William Shatner.
Well, the thing is, though, is that, you know, what you're talking about with Spock is inherent to Vulcans, whereas okay. Kirk's funky speech patterns were inherent to William Shatner.
Oh, that's true.
You know what All I right. mean? So that's why I'm glad that they didn't do anything like that.
Right.
Now, I thought Carl Urban as Bones captured a little bit of that,
sure.
you know, Southern...
And the same with Simon Pegg and Scotty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, there was just some really funny stuff. Now, some of the references that I read about later, I didn't get, so I didn't know what some of them were.
Right.
But there are a lot of things in there. And there are also some things that tie into other J.J. Abrams' work. There's stuff that ties into Cloverfield. There's stuff that tied into Alias. There's
even
stuff
Lost. I mean,
tied into Lost. Like what?
Time travel.
Yeah. Although that's kind of a...
recurring...
Yeah, there's been a lot of time travel in Star Trek.
Oh, has there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the movies, First Contact, the whole movie was a time travel movie.
Right.
Did you ever see that?
I don't think so. I don't know which one I've seen.
That was
I've seen
next,
two.
That was one of the Next Generation
movies.
Khan
was
movies.
One of them. Oh, no, then I didn't see
that
it.
That was a good movie. First Contact.
Oh, is that where, like, the new generation people meet the...
No, that was... I forget what that one was called. Generations. That's okay. what that one was called. And that, I thought, was terrible.
Well, yeah, it just sounds terrible.
But First Contact is really cool because it you get to see the beginnings of us leaving Earth and going out into space. And but it starts out in the future, you know, what is the present of the Next Generation crew.
Right.
And then they have to come back into the past because of, you know, a threat, obviously. But it was cool from that standpoint. It was a good movie. I think that was the best of the next generation movies. Going back to this film, everything about it was cool. I mean, the look of everything was really cool. I loved the way that the bridge of the Enterprise looked. It was just really neat. And there was a lot of stuff that I was glad that they showed. Like, you know, one of the criticisms, at least from me, for a lot of Star Trek stuff is how perfectly clean everything is. You know, it's always pristine and clean and perfect. And, you know, that was one of the old jokes in Star Trek is that, you know, there would be a hallway that was devoid of anything. Uh-huh. There wasn't even a speck of dust in the hallway. But then all of a sudden Kirk would get in a scuffle with somebody and he'd turn around and there'd be a giant wrench there that he'd pick up and hit the guy with. It's like, well, where'd that wrench come from?
Right.
You know, stupid stuff like that. So one of the things that was neat about this movie was that on the Enterprise, you see things like, you know, just spaghetti messes of girders and stuff like that in different parts of the ship, or, you know, water tanks and stuff that have to do with the operation of a big vessel like that for 100 people or 1,000 people or however many people the ship held. But I just thought it was so spot on in just about every way that you'd want a Star Trek movie to be.
Yeah, I guess that's just why I don't love it as much as you did, because, you know, I had no attachment to the property whatsoever. So, like, I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. I would recommend it, but...
Yeah.
Would I be, like, so excited about, like, the next one? Probably not. I mean, yeah. I'd go see it, but...
See, I wish, based on the fact that it was so great and the fact that none of the stars really were so big that they wouldn't do a TV show, I wish they would turn this into a series. A new series with that exact cast and the aesthetic and everything, because that would be so much fun. But my understanding is that they're going to do 4 or 5 movies and be done with it,
right?
Which kind of blows, but whatever. It was still great, and I would also highly recommend it. And then the other thing is we watched the Brendan Fraser Journey to the Center of the Earth. Uh-huh. That was out last year or whenever that was. You know, it was really cute.
Was that the one in 3D?
It was in 3D. We didn't see it in 3D.
Right.
I don't know if, you know.
Oh, it was on cable, right?
It was on cable, yeah. It was cute. I mean, it was a good retelling of the story for kids, basically.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing really offensive in it. It was better than you would think it would be given the property. Because I've always thought that could be a great film as a serious movie if done well. But I think it's been remade 4 or 5 times and they've all been terrible. This one was not terrible. It was a cute, solid movie for kids. Much smaller cast. You know, the original had like 6 or 7 people all traveling together and this had 3. So it was a smaller movie in that sense. But I thought it was a good, you know, kid version of the story. So if you have kids and you want to see something that's kind of adventure-y, I think it's a good, you know, a good movie to see. You know, everybody knows the story. I don't have to go into it. Yeah. Right. And then a couple other things I wanted to mention.
Well, I want to mention one thing. You know what I really enjoyed when we went to see Star Trek? Because I had no expectations of this movie whatsoever. In fact, I just thought it was going to be kind of childish. That trailer for G.I. Joe is amazing. That is going to be awesome.
It looks really cool, doesn't it?
It really does.
I can't believe, you know, you almost can't believe you're saying that about G.I. Joe.
Right.
But it looks really cool.
Right. I guess I just didn't know what to expect from G.I. Joe. I didn't know that there was going to be any futuristic, you know.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really cool.
It looks really neat. Yeah. And that comes out like June or July, right?
Yeah. June, I want to say.
Yeah. It does look very cool. And then another thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, we mentioned that preview for District 9, which is the movie about the giant hovering alien spaceship. Uh-huh. Well, I guess they released a new trailer where you can actually see the alien's face and hear what
and
they're saying,
Joan
and
Rivers.
It's translated. It might as well be.
Joan Rivers destroying poker players.
but apparently what the alien is saying in that interview is that they came in peace, they didn't mean us any harm, and they didn't mean to land here. They just, you know, basically their ship malfunctioned. And what was interesting is it made it seem like what the movie was about was our unacceptance of them being here and how we mistreat them.
Right.
And not necessarily as much of a sci-fi story, even though it's aliens.
Right.
And that was disappointing to me because I thought it was going to be some cool sci-fi alien movie. And now it just looks like it's going to be basically, you know,
a message,
political
movie about
commentary,
tolerance.
Right, about tolerance, which I'm not really all that interested in.
Because you're completely intolerant.
Of most things, yeah. And you're moving up the list, pal. No, but you know what I mean? That's kind of disappointing to me.
I don't know. I think if it's done well.
If it's done well. But I don't know.
You got something else?
No, not about that. And then there's a movie called Surrogates. I really don't have any information on it. I don't know if you want to look it up and see when it's coming out. But it's with Bruce Willis, and it's about a future where we all have robot avatars of ourselves. They look like us. They act like us. They do all of our work and all of our, you know, other stuff while we just sit around doing nothing. And he plays some kind of a, you know, detective or something like that, trying to figure out some bad thing. But it sounded kind of cool. Sound like maybe a cool cross between, like, you know, Blade Runner and Stepford kind of stuff, and a lot of these different ideas put together. iRobot, in a sense. Yeah. It could be neat. Does it say when it's coming out?
September 25th.
Oh, that's cool. Not too far off. And, you know, I like Bruce Willis. I'm almost always eager to see a Bruce Willis movie.
He's made some garbage.
He has made some garbage, but I'm almost always eager to see it. You know what movie of his I hated? Death Becomes Her.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't so good.
It was terrible. I can't believe Meryl Streep did that movie.
Until you saw She-Devil.
No, I never saw that.
It's the one with her and Roseanne.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess even Meryl Streep needs the cash, huh? Sometimes.
I'm looking over Bruce Willis's... yeah, he's done some good stuff.
And he's fun. You know, he's fun to watch. I mean, he does every once in a while. Here's what I like about him.
Ooh, and then we hit Armageddon.
Yeah.
That really is a terrible, terrible movie.
It is a bad movie. The thing that's fun about Bruce Willis is that I think he's been able, for the most part... Oh, God, I just, like, spit all over the place. I think he's been able, for the most part, to escape the become a caricature of yourself that so many people that are his contemporaries have fallen into, like Harrison Ford and even Robert De Niro.
Completely Robert De Niro.
You know what I mean? Well, I say...
You say even as
well, I say even because Robert De Niro is actually from an earlier generation of actors than Bruce Willis. But I mean, in terms of doing that, Robert De Niro is probably more guilty of that than anybody.
Right.
But Robert De Niro and Harrison
Ford. Except Al Pacino.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think he's as bad as De Niro.
I think he's worse.
Really?
I think De Niro could still do good stuff. I don't think Pacino has it in him.
Huh. That's interesting. I would have thought it was the other way around from my point of view. But Harrison Ford, completely incapable. I do not think he could do...
Let's be honest, though. Harrison Ford was never an outstanding actor, really.
No, but he was better when he was younger.
Right. But, I mean, he was very... You know, you're not going to get a lot of depth from Harrison Ford that you get from De Niro and early Pacino.
No, there was never that kind of subtlety.
No.
But
another one who falls into that category is Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey used to be great, and now he's cringeworthy, I think.
What does he even do anymore? What has he done recently?
Here, let's see what he's done recently. Tony is now looking up.
I'm sorry, is that my line?
Yeah, you dropped the ball there. Well, he's got some stuff coming out, like The Men Who Stare at Goats.
That's the name of a movie.
Yes.
No, but what has he done lately?
What has he done for us lately?
No, what was the last thing that he did that you think was a good movie?
That was good? I mean, because he did that 21 movie. I never saw that.
I didn't see that either.
Superman. You know what? Superman Returns, he was okay.
Oh, I hated his character in that movie. That whole movie was a train
wreck. I didn't like that movie either, but I thought he was okay. I thought he was okay, although I thought he was too old to play the part, as Bobby Darin in Beyond the Sea.
Didn't see it, no.
That's actually pretty good.
I heard it was good.
Austin Powers in Goldmember.
What was he in that?
Remember the beginning part? He was Dr.
Evil.
Oh,
right. In the fake movie,
But look at all this terrible... K-Pax, Pay It Forward, The Life of David Gale.
Pay It Forward was not a terrible movie.
Terrible!
I didn't think it was a terrible movie.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think it was terrible.
Terrible.
I hated the ending, but I didn't think it was a terrible movie. K-Pax was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, let's put it this way. What do you think were his best movies? American Beauty, obviously.
Yeah, American Beauty. Definitely Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects.
Swimming with Sharks, I think he's awesome in.
Never saw that.
Have to see that.
Wait, who else is in that?
Frank, what's his name? Frank Wally Jr.?
I think I did see that movie.
That's an excellent movie.
I don't remember it that well, though.
Actually, I think that movie kind of like helped them form, though I don't like him, but you certainly see that it takes elements of it out. Jeremy Piven's character in Entourage, I think, borrowed some of Kevin Spacey in Swimming with Sharks because okay. He's playing the, you know.
Yeah, right.
The jerk Hollywood agent.
I'm surprised that you didn't mention Bullwinkle.
Really surprised at that? The no. Ref. He was great in The Ref.
Never saw that. I don't think I ever even heard of that.
Oh, that's fun.
I think Bullwinkle is possibly one of the worst films ever made.
I never saw that.
I saw part of it.
Seven.
And
he was
off.
Great in Seven.
Yeah. Yes. He was great in Seven. Yeah. But yeah, so as an actor in approximately that same age group, and for the number of movies that Bruce Willis has made, I think he's been able to escape that a lot better than a
right.
lot of those people.
You're right.
He does every once in a while do that little, you know, Constantine Maroulis, Bruce Willis smirk. You know what I mean? That little like
Constantine Maroulis.
You know what I'm talking about? That little, you know, Bruce Willis. I mean, I know you people listening at home can't see this, but you know, there's that smirk that Bruce Willis does that he shares oddly with Constantine Maroulis. that can be a little bit like, okay, I know we've seen you do that before, but. I don't know. Bruce Willis is just fun. He's fun to watch.
I agree. I'm a fan.
Yeah. So that should be good. Surrogates. September. Wait for it. You got anything else in movies?
No.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about everything else. All right. We are back, and it is time to wrap up the normal segments of our show with, of course, the mashup. Or as Tony likes to say.
I was waiting for my intro. The moosh moosh.
The moosh moosh. All right, first on the docket here, Windows 7, according to Microsoft, will in fact be available by December at the latest. So
I thought it was going to be sooner than that.
Well, it may be. It's just that they're saying that's the latest it's going to be available. Right. You know, and the thing is, too, they always, you know, they release the new operating system.
They like to
system.
Give themselves a window.
Oh, yeah, no, I like the tie-in. I like the tie-in. No, but what I was going to say is they release it first to system integrators, you know, right. HP and Dell and all those guys, so right. that they can start selling PCs with it before it's actually available for retail as just a standalone purchase.
Ah.
So it could be out. I mean, you never know. It could be out in September, starting in September on new machines, but you just won't be able to buy it yourself until later. And I would just like to say something, too. You know, I have this sound booth here in my office,
uh-huh.
and I've got the machine that I do my recording on has two monitors hooked up to it, which I have been running on XP, and the monitors are cloned so that I can see the same thing whether I'm outside the booth or inside the booth.
Yes.
And it hasn't been working right under Windows 7. So I sent a message to Microsoft, and I get back a message from one of the Windows 7 development leads.
Wow.
Who then forward it to somebody who is the head of the, like, graphics functionality
okay,
in Windows 7.
Okay, now you're just name-dropping.
I didn't mention anybody's names.
Okay.
And so this guy has been sending me emails constantly for the last 2 days trying to help me figure out what's going on with this monitor.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would just like to point this out to all the people who say Microsoft is too big of a company that makes crappy products and doesn't care about anything. That is not the behavior of a company that fits that description at all. I'm so impressed with that.
Yeah.
I have some other stuff that I have to do to help figure out why. But I guess the way that the drivers work in Windows 7
Can you
7
wait
is,
till we're done?
What?
Can you wait till we're done before you
I don't have to do
those
it right
things.
Now. Yeah, don't worry about it. I need some ferrite cores, which we tried to find after lunch and failed miserably. But anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, so you want to talk about the iPhone rumors?
Okay.
They're right there.
Oh, you want me to talk about them specifically?
Yeah, sure. Tell us what's coming, supposedly. Because, you know, supposedly they're going to announce a new iPhone
right.
or two or three. in June.
And from what you have here.
Yes.
From the rumors that you've started.
Yes. I didn't start these. I'm just reporting them.
There will be a 32 gig version.
Which would be good.
RAM will be doubled up to 256 megabytes.
Now, I don't think I knew that there was.
I didn't.
I think I always thought that, like, if you had a 16 gig iPhone, mm-hmm. that the OS used part of it and the rest was available for storage.
Right.
Because when you sync in iTunes, isn't there like a little chunk of that for system?
Yeah.
So I think I always thought it was just pulling out of that, but apparently not. Apparently there's a 128 megs of RAM that it uses for system stuff, and now that's going to be doubled to 256. But anyway, go on.
Processor up to 600 megahertz from 400 megahertz.
That's 50% increase in speed.
Yes.
It's a good deal.
3.2 megapixel camera with autofocus.
That's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. Especially if, as you said previously, if they're already improving the camera software so that it takes better pictures in low light,
right.
having a higher resolution camera with autofocus makes that even
more
interesting.
It's a 2 megapixel now, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Digital compass.
Yeah. I have no idea what that means. Do you?
Yeah, it's a compass.
Okay.
But, you know, they actually have a compass app. So.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Why do they need to add that if they can already do that?
Right.
Is what I don't get.
And FM radio, which is pretty exciting.
That is exciting. The only problem that I have with that is that a lot of times whenever you introduce an FM radio or, you know, any AM, FM, whatever.
Interference.
There always seems to be some kind of interference, which you would think you would have anyway. Well, I mean, there, you know, the iPhone does put out a fair amount of interference. If you take it near your computer speakers, for instance, you'll hear it buzzing.
Yeah.
Buzz, 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 buzz. And so I don't know. I'm just worried that them introducing an FM radio into the mix is going to make that whole situation even worse than it already is right now. So I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. Tony just left to get some water. And
and there isn't any.
And there isn't any. I just realized that. I bought some. It's in my car.
That's okay.
Yeah. You could go out and get some.
That's all right.
Okay. Sorry. Are you feeling parched?
I'll get through. I thought I had a little tickle in my throat and I was going to cough, but I just summed up a big wad of saliva and I've taken care
of
it. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Maybe it was the piece of food that was in my teeth.
I don't think so, since it's still there.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say something at a break?
What difference does it make? Nobody can see it except for me.
But they know it's there.
Okay. Well, now they know it again. All right. So the other day, Microsoft has a Twitter account for their Office products.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're talking about, you know, the next version of Office through this Twitter account. And somebody on there leaked information that basically confirmed that Microsoft is coming out with a Zune phone.
As I said.
Soon. Right. As you said. But of course, you got your rumors from
the
interwebs anyway. I don't want people to mistakenly think that you made up the rumor.
No.
And then it came true.
Right.
But, you know, people have thought for a long time that Microsoft might get into actually making hardware, because up till now, they've only made the software. They've made Windows Mobile, but all the phones have been made by other companies. And so people have suspected that they might make a Zune phone to compete with the iPhone and now the Palm Pre. And basically, the Twitter account, somebody tweeted, you know, all I can say is hold off on buying a new iPhone or a Palm Pre. It'll be worth your wait. And then some other details leaked the next day, I believe, or later the same day, because I can't remember if this was Monday or yesterday, but some other details leaked about what the specifications would have to be for any of these products that have been codenamed Pink. Now, I don't know why you would codename a super cool smartphone Pink, but apparently they did. But anyway, some of the specs are that it would have an ARM version 6 Plus processor, and graphics that are capable of OpenGL ES2 spec, a 3.5-inch touchscreen at either 800 by 480 or 854 by 480, which is very high resolution. That's very cool. I think that's about twice the iPhones.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong about that. Look up the iPhone's screen resolution.
You can keep talking while I'm...
A 3-megapixel camera, GPS, light sensor, 3-axis compass, again with the compass, accelerometer, and of course USB, Bluetooth, and full Wi-Fi support. So that's pretty cool, because that's a good list of specs. What is the...
480 by 320.
Yeah, so that's more than twice.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
No, how do you figure...
What?
480 times 2 is 960.
Multiply them out. Multiply out 480 by 320.
Oh, now I got to pull up calculator?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
You can keep talking.
But I like that little clicking sound.
I know, but the pressure is, I might press something wrong.
Well, how hard is it? Just open calculator.
I'm doing it. I'm doing the math multiply here. Out I'm doing the math here.
Multiply out 480 by 320.
I did that.
Okay, and what's the answer?
153,000.
Okay, now multiply out 854 by 480.
Oh, of course you're going to pick the bigger one.
Well, yeah.
Just to prove your point.
Yeah.
I know. I don't have a mouse right now, so it's...
My God. I don't need a mouse for calc. What do you need a mouse for? You got buttons with numbers on them.
All right, point well made. Go ahead.
What was the total?
409,000.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure is more than twice 150.
Okay.
Math genius boy. Didn't you score way higher than me on your math scores in high school?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to hear
so
it.
So there.
We're even. And then next Tuesday, the Palm Prix's actual release date will finally be announced, so that's pretty cool. Then I wanted to mention this thing that I read about in the UK. Somebody has started a company called PitStart, where it's like a self-service garage, which is actually kind of cool for all the people who, you know, modify their cars, because usually you have to take it to a garage and pay to have stuff done, which can be very expensive. So this is a garage that's totally self-serve. So you just rent a bay, and they have ones with and without the lift. So like if you have to get underneath your car and, you know, change out your muffler and...
What if you don't know how to do any of that?
Well, then you probably would not be a customer. But what I'm saying is for the people who do want to do it but don't have access to the bays and the tools, it's only $30 an hour to go in there and rent a bay with a lift. So you could drive in there. They have all the like major tools and tuning instruments and diagnostic equipment and all that kind of stuff. So you just rent the space and then do the work yourself.
And you think this is really cool?
I think it is really cool because there's nothing like that here as far as I know. And yeah. For people who are into, you know.
Couldn't you just, you have a garage.
It doesn't have a lift in it.
Well,
if you wanted to change out your exhaust system, could you do that in your garage?
I couldn't do it at all.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So that's kind of cool. $30 an hour. That's not a bad deal for all the stuff and the lift.
Yeah. That depends on what you're paying $30 an hour to do.
Get a lift and all the equipment. That's what you're paying for.
I'd pay $30 an hour for a little lift. I don't know what that
with
means.
With or without equipment.
I don't know what that means.
And then there's this Italian company called Nilox that has a product called the NX100R, which is a very retro-styled, like turn-of-the-century-styled, or maybe 50s-styled, turntable that rips directly to MP3 files on a USB key or SD cards, which is really neat. Because, you know, they have a lot of these turntables now that can output to something to so that you can rip them. But to have one just all do it all self-contained is pretty cool.
Right.
And especially since we just read that vinyl is making a comeback, if you're going to be buying vinyl but you want to listen to it on your iPod, there you go. Problem solved. I have no idea how much it costs. And then Honda's new Insight, which is, you know, their hybrid to compete with Toyota's Prius.
Uh-huh.
Last month was the number one selling car in all of Japan. And a hybrid has never been the number one selling car before. So Toyota must be kind of pissed right now because the Prius has been out for years. Right. And all of a sudden, Honda shows
but
up
the
with
the Prius is a lot more expensive.
Yeah, it's like $3,000 more expensive.
Well,
and they just cut the price of it too to be more competitive with the Insight. But still, Honda, way to go. And then I wanted to mention this site called Slooh.com, which is Slooh, where you can go online. And I haven't played with it yet, so I'm sorry that I don't know the details. But basically, it lets you, I think you create an account, and then it lets you control like some of the world's biggest telescopes that you can then point at different parts of the sky and take pictures and stuff. I think that's what it is. Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, actually.
Isn't that cool?
But what if someone else is controlling it at the same time?
Well, they probably don't let you do it then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look into it more to see how it works. Maybe they give you like a little time slot and then you...
I don't think it's real. I think it's all like computer generated.
It's not fake. Don't start rumors that are not true. But slewing is what they call it when the telescope is moving into position. So that's where the name comes from, but I don't think it's spelled that way. But anyway, that's pretty cool. And then, you know, I'm a huge Lego fan. Lego's coming out in July with a set. The 10196 is the set number. It's called the Grand Carousel. It's huge, $250, and it's like a giant, you know, carousel, merry-go-round kind of thing, minifigure scale, that, as far as I can tell, has all these motors and everything so that the whole thing actually works, which is really cool and fits in really well with...
I don't know if cool is really the word you should use.
Oh, it is. You should see it. It's very cool. Okay, and then I guess a train driver in Boston is being sued for almost $10 million for crashing his train into another train because he was texting his
girlfriend.
You don't
remember hearing about this when it happened?
No. When did it happen? I thought it just happened a few days ago.
Oh, then this was another one. There's someone who crashed a train within the last 6 months and was texting his girlfriend.
Oh. Well, maybe it's the same thing, but maybe they didn't know what the result of that was going to be in terms of the lawsuit. $10 million.
Right.
That's an expensive text message.
Yeah.
So if you think your text rates are high, $10 million bucks for one. Okay? That's all I'm saying. And then the last thing I have here is that, you know, Nikola Tesla was an eccentric guy, to say the least. He was so confident in his own genius that he referred to Einstein as a hack. Yet, you know, a lot more people know Einstein than they do Tesla. But anyway, he had this estate on Long Island called Wardenclyffe, where he had built a laboratory, and it's rumored that there are even a bunch of tunnels under the whole 18-acre complex. And it's where he was trying to invent the radio, but then Marconi, I guess, sort of beat him to it. And I don't think, you know, I think if you look this up, I don't think Marconi actually invented the radio. I think that's a mistake. But it's the name that everybody remembers. But I think somebody else actually did. But once radio had already been achieved then, Tesla turned towards trying to invent broadcast electricity, basically, so that you could broadcast electricity to everybody and you wouldn't need to lay wires. And so, you know, people would see these, like, you know, sparks and lightning bolts shooting off of this tower on Long Island into the night sky. And, you know, he never really finished his work. And as you know, he sort of went crazy and he was totally broke and, you know, a lot of his stuff burned down and lost all of his notes and all that. But the company AGFA that owns the compound now is saying that they have to sell it because it's too expensive to maintain. And so they want to sell it for like $1.5 million, but they say it can be delivered completely razed so that they're going to destroy everything on it. And so now all these preservationists are trying to find somebody else to either donate the money or to just raise the money to buy it from AGFA so that it doesn't get torn down. Because, I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that anyone would let them tear it down. I would think at this point it would be sort of a historical monument type status.
Now, when does this come out?
You're such a dork. That's not a movie. It's real.
And which gadget is this highlighted?
Okay, I'm sorry. If you can somehow tell me that you think Nikola Tesla has nothing to do with gadgets, you don't know who he is, do you?
Sure. In 1892, he designed the fundamental design for radio.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Reading off of Wikipedia, Tony.
Okay.
What?
Well, yeah, but okay.
No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because the guy was, you know, had his hand in a lot of stuff that would later become a huge part of everything we do. I mean, he was one of the
two
people.
Can we attribute him to the iPhone?
You can attribute him to electricity. In terms of, you know, he was.
Well,
would your iPhone run without electricity, Tony?
For about 4 hours.
Yeah, you get a lot better battery out of yours than I get out of mine. Mine's starting to not hold its charge as well.
Really?
I noticed. Yeah, like the other day, I was on the phone for a total of maybe half an hour. My battery was like at a fourth.
Really?
It was terrible.
Maybe your battery's dying.
That's what I just said.
I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's your fat fingers.
What does that have to
or your color blindness?
That's probably it. The color blindness. Maybe it's because
maybe it looks like the battery is low, but it's really you can't determine
the
color
between on and off.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not binary blind. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No.
Okay. Thanks for all your contributions, by the way.
No, I'll right. have my real estate update next week.
Okay, good. You know. So now it is time, as always, for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. And you will start off with your worst.
My worst. We've actually already covered it somewhat, but is the exit of Allison Irohita.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was a bad thing.
Really, because I, you know, watching the show today, I had so much less.
Last night's episode, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So much less involvement in it just because, you know.
Yeah. What's funny, too, is that, you know, they've always criticized her, well, at least Simon has, for not showing enough personality. But you really feel her absence on the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And not just because it's all guys.
Right. I mean, you really feel like.
Right.
I don't know whether it's her youth or her spirit, whatever it is. You definitely feel her absence, which is not good. But you know what? You only got another 2 weeks anyway. Right. Well, next week. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember my worst.
What?
I had it all ready to go, and now I've forgotten it.
Well, then make something up.
But I can't think now. It's too much pressure. Oh, my worst was actually the same as yours. Allison being voted off American Idol. No, I had something else, and now I can't remember what it was.
Was it Tesla's Warden Cliff
Estate
in danger?
No. I remember what it was now. It was the pit. I was disappointed that there wasn't anything, the Fallout 3 ad on the pit.
Right.
I was disappointed that there wasn't anything really new. Now, I have heard that there's a guy in the pit area who, if you bring him these steel ingots that you find lying around, you can give him 10 of them and he'll give you some new weapon or something. Uh-huh. So I have heard that you can get some pretty cool weapons that way. And I haven't done all that. I only did the first one. But the problem with that is, you played the game, so you know what I'm talking about. The problem with the weapons in that game is they deteriorate. And you can't get new ones. You can only repair them with a similar type of weapon.
Right.
So if it's a weapon that you don't find a lot of out in the world, you can never repair it.
Well, then only save it for special occasions. It's like good china.
You know what? That's a lot of work. And especially since you can't carry infinite things with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, what am I going to do? Go back to my house and get something out of a locker and then go back and say, okay, now I'm ready to fight you. I mean, that's not really realistic.
Right.
So that was my worst, was that there was nothing really new in there. What was your best?
My best, and we didn't cover it in TV show. Last week's episode of The Office was one of the best episodes of The Office I've ever seen.
Okay.
Don't tell me you didn't see it.
I'm sure I did, but why am I not remembering it?
Cafe Disco.
Oh, Cafe Disco.
That was one of the funniest episodes I have ever seen.
That was pretty funny. I don't know if I would say it's one of the funniest
ones
I've
ever seen.
Oh, I
watched it
twice.
Really? I thought it was, oh my God.
Like, what were some of the things that you thought?
So much about it. I love the dance-off between Kelly and Andy.
Were you surprised that Andy is a much better dancer than Kelly?
No.
Really?
No, yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Whole thing with Phyllis I thought was really funny. You know, the thing I like about Phyllis is such a believable character.
Right.
I mean, I just kind of assume that actress, that's her. Like, she just shows up for work and she's herself.
And I don't know if that's true from some of the things that I read.
Oh, you've seen her on other things?
No, but, you know, I every once in a while I read stuff that Jenna Fisher writes online.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure that she's talked about how Phyllis is a lot different in real life than she is on the show.
Well, she's such a believable character. I mean, she so reminds me of people that I, you know, would know.
Yeah.
But, I just thought the whole episode was great.
Yeah, although I do tend to get a little bit annoyed when writers go the route of the misunderstanding. I mean, there's been so much of that on The Office ever since Pam and Jim got engaged. You know,
well,
like...
Where was it here?
Well, like the thing with, you know, Bob Vance's secretary.
I think that was setting up for something that's going to happen later. I think that was a little
between
setup. You know, maybe they're
between Phyllis and Dwight.
No, not so much that, but just, you know, maybe he is having an affair and
yeah, right. But do you remember at the beginning of the season how every episode ended with you thinking something bad was going to happen between Jim and Pam, and then, oh, look, it gets resolved at the last second. It's actually fine. I think they've just been doing way too much of that. But
I guess the dancing,
and I don't think the secretary is going anywhere. Remember you said you didn't
think
they were
going to
keep
her? Actually, you know, I really liked her in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, she was cool.
I liked her. Well, you know, they gave her a little more...
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was good.
But, you know, I can't remember all the specific, like, jokes, but it was... I thought when it was all done, I thought it was written really well and really funny.
It was funny. And I, you know, you knew the moment was coming that Michael was going to realize that people actually had started showing up and go down there and like be all proud of his creation. Right. It's just so funny. It's so, that's one of my favorite things about his character, even though a lot of times this character is way too over the top. One of my favorite things about it is how he just needs the constant approval from everybody. And it's like so funny, like when he actually gets it,
you know, it really, that was a good example too of how that show is not only at times genius in its dialogue and its wittiness, but they're really good at physical comedy as well.
Yeah. There was something
the dance move that Phyllis does that makes her like throw her back out.
Yeah.
Hysterical. I rewound it like three times.
Yeah, that was real. There was a lot of funny stuff in that episode.
There was.
But
that to me was the true return of The Office. I mean, that just, it reminded me of my all-time favorite episode.
Was the Christmas party one?
No, the Dundee Awards from season two.
Yeah, that was really
funny. And this really like brought me back to like really appreciating the writing. And
yeah. I thought it was funny when, I think it was this episode, when he had the secret meeting down in the warehouse. Was that this episode or the last one?
Oh, I don't remember. I want to say it was the last one.
Oh, was it? Shoot, now I can't remember.
Yeah, it was the last one. That's the one where Dwight and them had the secret meeting.
Oh, God, now I can't remember. But where Daryl sneaks up from behind the box, he's like, Michael, what have I told you about playing in the boxes?
Now, that was awesome. Is that season finale this week as well?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
And, you know, Jim and Pam were going to go get married.
Right.
And then they decided that they wanted a real wedding, which I thought
because
was...
Because of the dancing.
Because of the dance-off, yeah. Which I thought was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I liked that they didn't run off to get married. Maybe... No, they couldn't do that for the finale because they would have no time to plan it.
Right.
I think there was a Angela moment that bugged me, though. I'm trying to think of...
Well, it was cute how she just would not take part of the dancing, and then he just got the little bit of approval by her, like, tapping her foot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it can be such a funny show that I think that's why it's such a shame when it's not.
Right.
You know, when it's not on par, because it's just so good when it's good.
But then it gives you reassurance when it comes back with an episode like that one.
Right. And the last two, I think, were both really good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to, it's no surprise to anyone, but my best Star entertainment Trek. Was Star Trek. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I loved it. I can't wait to see it again. I just thought it was so great. It's like, you know, the thing about it was that more than any other Star Trek thing I've ever seen, it really made me wish that I could live in that world, in that, no, I mean, in that point in humanity's history, you know what I mean? That doesn't appeal to you at all? The idea of us finally like getting past all of that stuff that has plagued us for the last how many thousands of years and moving on to like the next chapter in our existence?
I don't want to deal with Romulans.
Okay, well, let's say you didn't have to deal with Romulans.
Well, they had to deal with Romulans, so why wouldn't I have to deal with Romulans?
Okay, because Star Trek is fictional. But I'm just saying.
I know, but you're making me picture myself in that universe.
But you don't have to deal with Romulans.
Oh, so you get to pick and choose what's in that universe.
That's fine.
You know, I'm not playing.
Come on. No, you know what I mean, though. That doesn't appeal to you at all?
No.
You don't think that there's...
I like to live in the here and now.
That's not living in the here and now. You don't think that humanity needs to move past where we are?
Sure. Are we going to get all philosophical? Because I don't think I'm prepared for this.
Why not? I'm just asking a question.
I didn't bring my ammunition.
You didn't bring
for
any
this.
Notes. Your ammunition. Well, as they say, never go into a battle of wits unprepared.
Okay.
I think Nikola Tesla said that. Quite possibly. By the way, I don't know what made me think of this, probably because I was talking about Tesla and that makes me think of Einstein and he kind of looked like Einstein, but...
Tesla makes me think of like Cinderella and Skid Row. It's a hairband from the
80s. Yeah, I got that. One of my favorite Next Generation episodes was this two-part where Jerry Hardin...
Are you going way into the geek deep end here?
A little bit.
Okay.
Where Jerry Hardin played Mark Twain, uh-huh. and Whoopi played, you know, her character Guinan. But I just for some reason, I love anything with Jerry Harden because I love his delivery.
Who's Jerry Harden?
Melora Hardin's dad. And you'll recognize him when you see him. He was Deep Throat on X-Files. Do you know who I'm talking about?
That.
Okay. You'll recognize him when you see him.
Oh, I spelled Harden wrong. No jokes.
Yeah, no jokes no necessary. Jokes. You see who I'm talking about? He's a very famous character actor. Do you not recognize
him? Was he in Star Wars?
I don't know. Do you see a picture of him?
Yeah, but I don't recognize him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he has a very peculiar and very particular delivery. Uh-huh. And so anything with him cracks me up because it's like, yeah, his delivery is always like this. I mean, his voice may actually be more recognizable than his face is. He plays like Lincoln a lot of times, and right. he played Mark Twain in this episode of The Next Generation. But I just love his delivery. It totally cracks me up.
And who's his daughter?
Melora Hardin, Jan from The Office.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like her.
That was a good.
Well, I didn't like Jan.
You don't like the character, yeah.
Right.
That was a good. That was a good 2-part episode on Next Generation.
Yeah.
It was really cool because it started off with the Enterprise getting called back to Earth. And they're like, we were doing an archaeological dig in San Francisco, and we found something we think you might be interested in. And it was Picard and Data who went back there. And the guy, like, pulls up this blanket, and it's Data's head. And it had been there for, like, 400 years, which, you know, kind of doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So it was a cool episode.
Because it would have decomposed by then.
No, he's an android. They don't decompose.
With skin, though, right?
No. His skin is synthetic. He's not a Terminator. Okay, you're getting your genres confused here. By the way, that comes out pretty soon, right?
Yes, and you know what? Really excited about that.
I cannot wait to see that.
Really excited.
You know,
about
there's some fun stuff coming out between that and G.I. Joe, and I know you're not looking forward to Transformers, but I'm looking forward to Transformers.
Absolutely not.
So this could be a good summer. And Harry Potter. New Harry Potter movie comes out this summer. That could be good, right?
Do you watch all those?
I've seen them all.
Yeah, I have too. I like them. I can't get myself excited about them, but
no, I still think the first one was the best.
I've never seen one in the theater.
Really?
Yeah.
They're fun to see in the theater because they're visually very, you know.
I've seen them all on Blu-ray, though. So.
Yeah. Is your TV as big as the theater?
It's pretty big.
It's not that big.
No, it's not.
No. So there you go. I think that's pretty much it. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, thank you as always for tuning in. And I'm sorry that Tony had something stuck in his teeth the whole time. Hope it wasn't too distracting.
And be sure to listen next week for Lou's extended history lesson of
Nikola Tesla
and the history of the radio.
You could just read that on Wikipedia. I don't know what to talk about that. Okay, here's what I want you to do, people. If you're listening, I want you to write in podcast@pause.com. Tell me how many of you think that Nikola Tesla is cool and interesting, and how many of you think that you
I love all the things that you've called cool in this episode.
How is a Lego set not cool? It's Lego. It's the coolest toy ever made.
When you're 11?
No, at any age. It's cool at any age.
Yeah, please write in.
Please write in. Let us know what you think. There was something else that I wanted people to write in about, but I can't remember now. But still, Tony still wants a life lesson request.
You know, actually, this week Tony needs life lessons, so maybe not this week.
So there you go. All right, cool. Thanks for listening. Write to us at podcast@pause.com. And as always, we will see you next week.
Bye.